The things that allowed me to be an effective teacher are the exact same things that have allowed me to be an effective entrepreneur.
Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. My hope is to share with you not only valuable insights and knowledge from leaders in education, but have fun while doing it and shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. The best leaders are the ones that know they can't be an expert at everything. They often continue to learn and seek out other experts to join their team. In today's episode, part two of our conversation with former educator turned EdTech CEO, Maya Gatt shares how she continues to lean into the idea of humility and the power of learning. Just in case you missed part one of our conversation where Maya shared how Branching Minds came to be, check out our podcast feed on our website. In today's half of our conversation, she expands on how she always strives to be a learner and how she translated her skills as a teacher to her role leading a company. I learned so much from her in our short conversation, and I hope the same goes for you. Enjoy. Having been in the classroom, I'm sure that you have a different perspective when you first came up with this idea, and just even throughout creating a company around this, those memories and those experiences are still at the forefront of your mind. Like, you haven't forgotten the basics of being a teacher. Like, especially when you mentioned like the going to the bathroom thing, like, I feel like that is a very real experience when you desperately call your like neighbor teacher going, I really,
yeah, dude, absolutely.
So how do you sort of maintain that learner experience that you had as a teacher, like constantly wanting to get better, constantly, you know, like that lifelong learner that we would hope that everyone is? How do you maintain that sort of in the position you're in now?
Golly. I was talking to someone earlier today about this new work that we were stepping into and how we had never done that before. And I said, it's been 15 years since I did something that I had done before. Everything I've done at Branching Minds, everything I did as a teacher before that, it was all new learning. I have never been privileged with the opportunity to achieve mastery and stay there. So whether or not it's figuring out, you know, what is marketing? What is, or figuring out what is, how do we build a product roadmap, or how do we create a support system, a customer support system, or how do we build community? I mean, everything I get to do every day, for better or worse, is that new experience of being a learner.
What kind of advice would you give, or like, what would your message to someone who maybe has an idea or is sort of stepping out into something new? Because that can feel really scary. I think there's, you know, as educators, that would be, I resonate with a lot of what you say, is that every year it felt like there was something new that we had to learn, and it became exhausting. I'm like, I never got to achieve mastery. And even as new technology comes in the door for teachers and, you know, as people are branching out and doing new things, how do you sort of not get burnout from that? How do you sort of keep learning and not feel exhausted from that learning?
Well, I don't know that what my experience is, or what my answer to your question will be generalizable. But I think that for me, the goal is not mastery. The goal is learning. The goal is growth, not attainment. And so it always feels fulfilling to me. I try to find power in vulnerability. I try to find joy in awkwardness, right? To be a learner is to be at the beginning of that learning journey, is to be discombobulated. And I mean, I tried learning how to ride horses a year ago as a grown person, and it was hard and awkward and very bumpy. And I did not achieve grace, but I achieved joy in laughing at myself along the way, and more empathy for my children for when they sit down to do multiplication that feels hard and they don't get it. And so I feel like the more I'm open to those experiences, the more I'm able to connect with other people in their experiences.
Yeah.
And that is.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes so much sense. And like, I think that's a really powerful message, because I can imagine, you know, even as I used to go and train teachers on something new, and the awkwardness or the uncomfortability, you could almost always feel that uncomfortability in them of like, I don't get it, I'm going to give up. Or, and it's that same thing that I would coach with students, but I think as adults, it's harder because we have lots of pretenses and we, you know, like you're expected to know. And there's also always like a threat, or there's just a lot of fear. I think as adults, we have more fear.
A lot of fear of failure.
Yeah. And I think what you're sharing is that power of vulnerability is like erases the power that failure can have in your life, or the power of fear almost too.
Humility to be like, I'm not going to be great at everything. And I am not great at everything. What I have done is I found other people who are better at those things to work alongside, right? Like, I don't code Branching Minds. That's not my skill set, right? I also don't manage the finances of Branching Minds, and that's okay. Humans can't be great at everything. That's why you try to find the thing that brings you bliss, right? That Joseph Campbell quote of follow your bliss. You try to find the thing that you can be good at to provide that value, and you have the humility to recognize that that's not going to be everything you do.
Yeah.
Could appreciate when other people are able to bring those things to, you know,
And that's the power of MTSS, right? The team aspect of it, where you bring your community together, your stakeholders, and there's doesn't have to be expert at everything. You have everybody at the table to help find the solution or find the support for a student. And so I think that you're modeling that in that idea of like hiring those other people that are good at what they do to be on the team. And so speaking about that, I think what you brought to the table was very, you know, your experience in education and your experience as a teacher. But I think that can be a very powerful message, or even just like representation for other, maybe other teachers that are sitting there going, I have this idea, but the idea that going, kind of growing into your power or growing into your sense of self-power, I think is really key. That your vulnerability of like, I don't know everything, is also that power that you're stepping into of, I don't know everything, but I'm going to find other people that know more than me about that thing and hire them.
It's really interesting because I find that there is so much power in vulnerability, but that is not always a shared feeling.
Well, the power in vulnerability is that you share it and you are unafraid of feeling vulnerable. And so many people are very afraid of feeling vulnerable. And so like, because you don't give power to that fear, like that's very disorienting for people, because they expect embarrassment, you know, like they expect you to feel shame, but you don't.
Well, that's part of the respect of the learning journey, right? Is that if you hold these truths to be self-evident, if you hold what we want for our students, when we teach our students around grit, right? Around self-determination, around overcoming those challenges. If we live that, then it's not scary, because yes, there are very real things that you're not doing great at, and you will very really show them how you will overcome those, right? It's just the journey. And so if you're good with that, then that's no longer scary. But I will say this, I was on a panel years ago about being a teacherpreneur, and one of the things for any of the teachers out there who have a vision of how the world can be a better place and are saying to yourself, I am just a teacher, let me tell you, the things that allowed me to be an effective teacher are the exact same things that have allowed me to be an effective entrepreneur. right? I mean, the ability to communicate in effective ways that convince people to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. Nobody's just handing out $1 million checks. Like, you got to convince people of that. Right? You've got to be able to preview for them and envision what that's going to look like. These are all teaching skills, right? So the ability to like have to understand where everybody's at and have that empathy for where each of these people are at that you're speaking to. I mean, the same things that allowed me to create an effective classroom community are the same things that allow me to create an effective organizational community to build the culture of Branching Minds. It's the mm-hmm. same set of intentions, the same set of skills, in same set of questions of how do I create an environment that's going to allow every single one of these humans to be their best selves and do their best work.
Yeah. I think that there are so many skills as a teacher that transition that transfer to other careers. And I, as a former teacher, transition teacher, that I explored a lot of different kinds of career paths other than teaching. There are so many things that I did as a teacher that enabled me to step into other roles fairly easily. And I wish I could tell teachers that. I'm like, you know more than you think you do. Like, you know more.
Lesson planning applies, right? Being able to prepare for a meeting, to think through what are the questions we need to ask? What's the backwards design? What is the outcome of this meeting? What are the questions we need to ask? What are the materials that we need to provide everybody so that they can show up ready to engage? And how do we preview that for the variety of people who are going to show up to this meeting? Some who think quickly and process fast, others who need time to digest the materials and resources and come ready with their own questions, right? Lesson planning applies to the corporate mm-hmm. world.
So you're saying do you tier supports for your employees?
I'm saying I think about inclusivity of learning mm-hmm. needs
yeah.
when planning for our meetings, when planning for the opportunities for people to connect.
And I think that's great. That's good practice, I think, in general. And I wish every manager or every, VP or whoever, if you manage people, you should probably think about that. How do you
probably think about what people need?
Yeah. You should think about successful. What people need. Not everybody absorbs information in the same way, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I know we only have a little bit of time left, but I have a few questions I kind of wanted to ask as someone who has a company that has a lot of former teachers and former educators, a part of this company. What's something that has surprised you about sort of hiring on different former educators? And, you know, I think we are slowly accumulating more former educators.
Something that surprised me about hiring educators. I mean, I honestly, for better or worse, I'm surprised that we're able to pull them away from their classrooms. I know that it's been really, really hard, and I get it. I get why there are so many educators leaving the classroom, and I am grateful for them to come to Branching Minds as opposed to somewhere else, where because through Branching Minds they'll continue to have an impact. But I am surprised by how many passionate, incredible educators are willing to make that transition. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't doing this, I would be doing that. I would be back in the classroom. I miss working with kids. I miss seeing that passion and that sense of self and that power light up.
Yeah, it is. I say that all the time, that the kids are the thing I miss the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also, what are some things that you do to ensure that Branching Minds remains focused on empowering teachers and educators?
Remains focused on empowering everything. It boggles my mind that I've been doing this longer than I was a classroom teacher at this point in my career, because at my core, I still feel very much like a classroom teacher, and I can still orient myself in that space like that, right? I can mm-hmm. still feel the stressors, the pressure, the joy. It's all very much on the tip of my brain constantly. And so I think so much of the decision, almost all of the decisions we make for me always goes to that lens of how would this help me or how would this frustrate me if I was a classroom teacher? Did we say mm-hmm. this clearly enough? Did we did we create too many, you know, steps in a process where I want this immediately? Did we not provide, is there a gap in we're expecting them to achieve these things, but we're not providing them the data they need to achieve all of them, right? It's almost in every thought that I have is how does this land as the, for the classroom teacher to give them what they need to be successful. That's why we hired other people who were the experts in the learning science, the experts in technology, the experts in product design, because I very, very strongly root myself in that orientation of what do I as the teacher need?
Mm-hmm. I like that. I think that's really important to continue to root yourself in, because I think in the, if you forget that, I think that's when it could go in other directions, you know?
Yep.
So
I know it could go in other directions because I'm in those meetings saying, no. Let me remind you.
Kind of the last few questions are thinking ahead and, what do you hope that people understand about Branching Minds? Like if you had any sort of like, I really want people to know, understand this about our company.
Yeah. I would say two things. One, we are a learning organization. So we built into our practices and our processes and our methodologies and our ways of being that need to learn and grow, which means that if there's a problem, let us know so that we can work with you to address it, which means that if there's an opportunity to do something better, bigger, greater somewhere else, let us know so we can work towards that. We are not static. We want to continue to evolve because the work is large and the mission is important, and we want to continue to do whatever it takes to help folks be able to rise to that occasion. The other thing I would want folks to know is that we are on the same side of the table. So I know that we're, you know, sometimes people use the V word to describe us, that we're a vendor, right? Mm-hmm. That we are a company, that we're motivated by money, right? All of these sorts of things. But ultimately, Branching Minds is a mission-driven benefit corporation. Our goals every single year are driven by and measured by whether or not the outcomes improve for the students that we support through Branching Minds, measured by whether or not the opportunity gaps are reduced for the students we support on Branching Minds. We use those data to determine whether or not we were effective as an organization. And we use those goalposts as the motivation for the work that we do. And so we really strongly want to be the partner in this work and meet districts where they're at, not just differentiate for students, but differentiate for all the folks in the journey to help them achieve their goals. And so hopefully, y'all get that we believe in learning, we believe in differentiation, and that we are on the same side of the table as y'all.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that that's where it's founded. And I think that's why what drew me to Branching Minds was just how mission driven that we are. So what are you excited about next? Like what excites you about this upcoming year and the work that you're doing?
So much. I mean, we've been growing a lot at Branching Minds, and we've hired a lot of folks from the classroom who bring incredible expertise and incredible passion and mission. And we've been growing in ways that I think really set us up to achieve incredible things this year. So I'm really proud of the team that we've created. I'm really inspired by, what they should, you know, the heart and the spirit that they show up with every single day. And so I think we're positioned to make a lot of those goals come true, to really improve outcomes and reduce those gaps and support folks so that they can do that work and go home to see their own kids at the end of the school day.
I am also excited about this year, Branching Minds. There's always so many things that are happening. And I just get excited to share with people about that as well. And the impact that it has. Yeah. I often say if I had this as a classroom teacher, it would have been very different for my experience and supporting the students. So we're to our final question. And I hope that you're excited to answer. I haven't changed it. I thought about changing it for this new series, but Maya, what's your favorite school supply?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this since the first podcast episode where you asked this question, and I thought it was such a delightful and fun question and such a weird way to see into someone's mind. I loved it. And so I've been thinking about what my answer would be. And I genuinely, you know, I have all the post-its in front of me, and I know that that's a very popular answer, and all the different colored pens, which is another answer I've heard a few times so far. And so it's no dig on those. I do love those. But when I think about what I was like lost without when I was a classroom teacher and what I relied on the most heavily, that was just sort of like my touchstone for life, it was my clipboard.
Oh, the power of a good clipboard.
I had one of those clipboards that you could open up inside, so you could keep all of your pens and your highlighters and your post-its and all of your lesson plans for the day and all of the observation sheets that you needed to go through and all of the different data you needed to collect all in that one clipboard. And I could just have the thing that was most pressing, the most needed to be addressed on the top and organized by priority below that. And I was just, if I lost my clipboard, we were just watching movies that day.
That's awesome. I think about like the clipboard I had that had my attendance sheet on it. And then underneath were all of my printed off grade sheet. Like I still did it. I still did everything by hand before I put it on the computer, you know, and that I had to find some good clipboards as I had different roles. I used a clipboard in lots of different roles. So
yeah. I mean, I'm the kind of person that needs to write in order to process. Mm-hmm. So even if, I mean, it just didn't matter if it needed to end up in a different spreadsheet or a different platform later on. The writing was for my ability to think. Mm-hmm. And so I just always needed that clipboard to jot down those notes or to capture the quotes of what I heard the kids say in the moment so I could refer back to them later, or the specific thing I saw them do while they were trying to solve for that problem. So there's neon clipboard. Green. It's beautiful clipboard. I don't know where it is today.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I learned a lot about Branching Minds and your story as well. And I just appreciate your vulnerability and your willingness to share with us. And I'm excited about what's to come. And so, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Larissa. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.